News Talk 1620 WTAW, and it's, where's the rain? Could you check the radar and see where the rain might be? Because I don't know where it is yet.
It's coming, Scott.
Yeah, okay, sure it is. Yeah, okay, all right. Was it? Oh,
I didn't need my wipers, but uh-huh.
Yep.
A little kind of spit.
Time. Weather watcher Nancy Berry, okay? I mean, other media outlets have people like, you know, out in somewhere. We have the mayor of College Station as our weather watcher.
Same here.
Pull that up closer to you, Dave Burdett. Dave's
Hello
here
there.
This morning. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing super.
Good. You might know Dave as from Burdett and Sons and some other stuff, too. And he's a historical nut, but today we're talking about something completely different, huh?
You bet. I'm here to appeal to your happy listeners in the Brazos Valley about the Brazos County Master Gardeners training program, which starts in January. And this is the very last day, that somebody who has some basic knowledge and experience in gardening and some knowledge about horticulture can apply to take part in the program, which is a real joy to do. It's an opportunity to volunteer and share your gardening knowledge with our friends and neighbors in the Brazos Valley. It's a great opportunity to get the very best training from the Texas AgriLife Extension specialists, other master gardeners, and top experts in each of the fields that are covered. And believe me, you know, here's College Station, home of Texas A&M University, probably the greatest agricultural institution in the world. We've got the people here who can really teach you about gardening. These are a series of classes that will meet Thursday mornings from 9 until 2 p.m. January through May. Now, not every week is there a class, okay. but most of the weeks there are. And let me tell you, this is done in the AgriLife Extension office on 21 in their demonstration kitchen, which is a place where they have a mirror, 45-degree
oh, yeah,
angle,
okay, sure.
So that you can sit in the classroom and see what's going on. You know, like, who was it, Maria Childs or...
Yeah, Julia. Yeah, it'd be Julia yeah. Child, but yeah.
but anyhow, we put a screen there for the PowerPoint presentations, and the class is populated mostly by ladies who are very experienced in cooking. And as a result, they like to bring in munchies.
Oh, so there's a side benefit as
oh,
well.
Oh, you bet. I must have gained 10 pounds
yeah,
taking that class
outstanding.
Because it was always great.
Yeah.
But anyhow, this is a great opportunity to make some friends and have a lot of fun and also to provide some service to the county.
Now, there needs to be some baseline knowledge before you go into a Master Gardener program,
sure.
right? So, I mean,
sure.
at what level do you need to be in gardening before you can go in there and kind of pick up the ball and go with it?
Well, you don't have to be Neil Sperry. I can guarantee
Good.
You that.
Okay.
Because I made it through. yeah. And I could, my wife and I, between us, could kill any plants that there ever
Oh,
existed.
Well, I can relate to that.
But,
okay, yeah.
But I'm learning to do much better, and I go by the theory that, a man can't be too rich, a woman can't be too thin, and you can't have too many tomato plants.
There you are.
Here.
Okay.
So they're easy
yeah.
to grow
sure.
in this Brazos Valley. Today is the last day that you can apply. And in order to get in under the wire, you have to call Sharla Anthony at 979-823-0129 today. Must be called in today. You don't have to complete the whole application process, but you need to get your name on the books today. Now, let me, if I could, just tell a little bit about what the Master Gardeners do.
Mm-hmm.
One, we're an extension. We're a supplement to the AgriLife Extension, so we run a number of services. First of all, we have Garden Line, which is an opportunity for people in the Brazos Valley to call in and ask somebody with a basis of knowledge how to make their plants grow better or get rid of some bugs or make their weeds go away, whatever it is. And we do that on Wednesdays, and it's just it's a tremendous amount of opportunity to learn. Second, we offer a garden sale, a plant sale in the fall that's absolutely the best place to go to get plants because we get perfectly healthy plants, and the place is populated with dozens and dozens of master gardeners, so you can ask what this plant is
sure.
good for and what it does and things like that. And also, throughout the year, we offer a series of opportunities for people to learn, even if they don't want to go through the whole course. For example, on the 29th of January, from 8:30 to 3 p.m., We're having an Earthkind gardening program. It's going to cover roses, garden design, vegetable gardening. Dr. Joe Masovny, who's a part of the AgriLife Extension and A&M instructor, is going to be teaching about vegetable gardening and also about herb gardening. Not Herb.
Hey, we know Herb. Herb. Okay. Herb is a pretty good gardener.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Smells
yeah.
good and tastes good, too. $50 with handouts, lunch, and snacks. And snacks are always great. And that's going to be at the Larry Ringer Library on in the evening. I jumped here. We're going to have a Gardening 101 seminar series. And this is going to be really great. These are two-hour specials. $10 per seminar. You can pick and choose. You can get all the information by calling the extension office. Again, talking to Sharla Anthony, and the number is, one more time, 823-0129. This series is going to go from January through October, and it's going to cover all kinds of different subjects. 2 hours at a whack. Soil, spring vegetable gardening, habitat gardening with a view toward bird and butterfly gardening, and that is a kick. If you've never done
sure.
it,
yeah.
you get all those birds in there and all the butterflies. It's really great. Composting.
So, Dave, now if they want to do that, they can call her. She'll tell you what these individual courses
sure.
are or the whole overview. And, again, today's the deadline. And can they
right.
call you at the shop today and get that number, too?
Probably not because
okay.
I'm not
you
there
take
a lot
the time
of time.
Off. All yeah. right, so give them the number one more time.
It's 823-0129. Call Sharla Anthony today and get in on all the fun of being a master gardener.
That's the deal. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Dave Burdett in here this morning. It's 818. Nancy Berry joins us in 60 seconds.
If you're a male over 30 years of age, then you need to hear this. Do you feel like you're physically over the hill? When you hit the gym, do you get fatigued quickly and find you're still gaining weight every year? Like your age is catching up with you? Complete Nutrition's got the solution. Charger. Charger is a safe and effective formula that replenishes your body's natural testosterone levels back to when you were peaking physically. The result is less fat around your core, more stamina, and an increase in your sex drive. For guys over 30, Charger can be one of the most powerful tools for enhancing and extending your overall quality of life. So if you want to naturally and effectively lean up, lose the gut, and get more stamina than you've had in years, take charge with Charger. Now open, find Complete Nutrition next to Panda Express on the corner of Texas Avenue and George Bush. Or call 703-7987.
Complete Nutrition.
819, News Talk 1620, WTAW. Nancy Berry, the mayor of College Station, joins us this morning. How are you today?
I'm just fabulous.
Nothing going on in your world, right?
Well, actually, there is.
Oh, is there? Oh, would you care to share?
Yeah, today is my older son's birthday.
Oh, well, good.
So that's always great news.
Okay, and he was in for the holidays?
He was in for Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
okay. He's had to work over the...
Well,
yeah, so that's
that
great.
Time of year.
We've got some other...
You do? Your name seems to be showing up here in public. There seem to be some people who are signing petitions that they don't want you to be mayor anymore.
I heard that.
Yeah. So basically, I want to get, number one, your comments on that. Number two, it appears that a sitting member of city council has signed some of those petitions.
I've heard that, too.
I'd like to get your thoughts on those two things to begin with this morning.
Well, the recall. It's legal. It's in our charter. It just goes to show you we need probably to... change the charter because the language is so loose, it doesn't give any reasons. It just gives the process. So those individuals are doing, what is legal within our city charter. If we lived in Bryan, it wouldn't be allowed because Bryan is more specific about their charter. But, it is what it is. It's interesting that the Articles of Confederation had recall.
Uh-huh.
But then when the Constitution was written,
yeah.
they changed that.
They took that out.
And
yeah.
the best, the best document of democracy of all time. So anyway, we'll see what happens.
Okay, well, part two of that, though, person who sits two chairs down from you has signed these petitions. And Janet McMillan has said she has done that as a... She's the only member of council I know of who signed any. She says she's done that as a private citizen. And certainly I'd like to get your comments.
Well, she has every right as a private citizen, but she also has a dual role. She's a public servant as well. And so, you know, she is new to council. She's entitled to her opinion. You know, it's a team effort, and it'd be nice to think that, you know, she was working hard for the team, but she has every right to sign that.
The one of the contentions, and again, I guess what I have a problem with is, as you say, there's no definition to why there is a recall. They can be angry at you about something. They could be angry at another member of council for something completely different, and yet they can sign a recall.
Sure.
Hopefully there'll be a charter review soon that can clear that up.
I certainly hope so. I think we have a strategic planning retreat. I think it's January 21st, and we're going to look at a host of things, and charter review is one of those.
Yeah. Well, again, there's nothing wrong. I've certainly had my beefs with College Station and the way they run things, but
we all
this
do.
Is, sure, but this is something that probably needs to be taken care of. Now, one of the contentions, though, of those folks where Welborn is the core issue, say that suddenly they believe that you and the city manager have moved forward or pushed this agenda forward because there is possible legislation in Austin that could make it more difficult. I know that Fred Brown has certainly entered some legislation. Explain to me, as far as you understand, has the timeline changed based on anything that could be passed in Austin?
No, not at all. You know, there's the word that is going around, fast track. And the real fast track is the state allows you to annex within 45 days, and we're taking probably this fact-finding. I mean, we say starting the process, but it really isn't starting the process. It's starting the fact-finding mission because we don't know what we don't know until we know it.
Oh, you're sounding like Nancy Pelosi now. Be careful. All right.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Don't want to go down that road.
Yeah.
Okay, let me back up, and what do they say in the jury? Disregard that? Yeah, so we're going to, you know, find out what it's going to take. And I don't know how I'm going to vote, so I can't even tell you what anybody else is going to do because we haven't decided. We've just started this fact-finding mission to find out what it's going to entail. We have to do a service plan. And the service plan tells us, you know, how many people are involved, what kind of services we have to provide, what kind of cost it's going to take over a period of time. And the council's going to look at that. We're going to have public hearings. And we're going to say, is this something we want to do or not do? And I haven't decided how I'm voting, so I can't say, you know, what's going to happen.
College Station Mayor Nancy Berry with us. We'll leave Welborn in a minute, but first, since you've been here last, Karen Severn was in from one of the groups in Welborn, and literally, I think the day before she was on our show, she was trying to draw up a new type of map that possibly didn't look as I hate to use the word gerrymandered, but that was not nearly as blocked as the ones that College Station has proposed. Have you seen a map from Welborn, a new map since in the last 2 weeks, number one?
I've never seen a map from Welborn other than the original one.
Okay. And number two, are there any meetings planned or have they asked for any meetings to once again sit down with any kind of a revised map with you?
No.
Would you welcome that?
At this point, I'd be willing to, you know, we're going to have public meetings, and I hope that they, you know, would do something. We had, when I ran on the platform that the citizens of Welborn had a voice that needed to be heard. And to that end, as soon as I got elected, the new council, and five of whom had previously served, but Jess Fields and I were new. And so when you have at least one new person, you know, the dynamics change. So we went out to Welborn and met with the citizens for Welborn, and they showed the map, and we visited and said, let's get a win-win. Then we got back to City Hall, and we found out we had been sued that day. So after that suit had been settled by the first by the appellate court and then by the Supreme Court not asking to overrule the appellate court, saying that, no, petition is not the appropriate way. We had a second meeting with Welborn, and citizens said, you know, before we met, they said, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. Second meeting started at 4, was going to be over at 5:30. They got the mic, 5:20, we got back. No change on the map. So I said, and it was in Welborn, and we had a whole lot of people that were in the audience because when we have a full council, it's an open meeting. So we get back to City Hall, and we had another meeting, and I said, let's just have a couple of us, you know, where we don't have to have an open meeting, but maybe without the distractions of, you know, 30 other people in the room, we can actually make some progress. Welborn came with 10 people. We had two. We didn't. But in that meeting, someone said, well, maybe we don't have to stay to the map. Well, I got so excited. And then that evening, got an email. They don't speak for us. No map change. So I met with AP Boyd, just one-on-one. He drew on a map, what about this? I didn't draw anything. And I said, yeah, I don't know. I just don't know.
You don't know personally, or you didn't know? I mean, you can't speak for the council,
obviously. Exactly. I said, you know, I just don't know about this. Yeah. I mean, I didn't say yes. I didn't say no. So he said, well, let's meet again, and I'll bring in Mrs. Cohen, who's the president of Citizen. And we said, great. So we met out at the Welborn Fire Department the next week. Mr. Maloney and myself, Mrs. Cohen and AP Boyd. And we talked, and we didn't make any progress.
And that's where you are.
That was meeting number five.
Okay.
Now, you know, the rumor mill is that, you know, we were in the process of coming to some sort of agreement, but we had not reached any, and we've never seen any other map from Welborn. And if they're just drawing it now, 3 weeks into their recall, it's
yeah.
I'm willing to meet with them, but just have to wait and see how this recall goes.
I understand that, and I don't want to necessarily speak, but
because
there's
no reason to speak and come to an agreement if five out of the seven people aren't going to be there in 2 months.
Right. Okay, and I want to move on to one other thing, but because it's real easy to get into the weeds with Welborn, because it's such a large. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just want to say I have spoken to some people that live in Welborn who say those people don't speak for me, that they don't represent me. And I said, well, why don't you speak up? And they said, I live out there.
These are my neighbors,
yeah. You know. Yeah. It's their thing. It's not my thing. I don't agree with them, but I'm not getting involved. So they don't represent everybody out there.
Okay, so finally, before we leave Welborn, there'll be two meetings that, if this process moves on, there'll be two meetings. Would you be in favor of having one of those meetings actually in Welborn proper?
Absolutely. The question is where those meetings come. If they're in a full council meeting, then we need, and it's just part of a council meeting, then we need all of our, you know, our staff comes and represents us and stuff like that. But if it's just a public hearing where we're not doing anything else, absolutely.
Okay. Nancy Berry joining us this morning. I want to move on just quickly to the other thing, which is the water event at Wolfpen Creek. And I would just as soon you kind of give us a little bit of an overview there, because I'm not exactly sure. We understand there was a promise that there would be a water event, $1.2 million, and I think people are concerned about it having an annual cost of $170,000 for continued operation, and that's something that maybe people don't want to buy into. So basically, from your point of view, how did this event take place, and where really are we with the water event at Wolfpen Creek?
Well, my understanding is this was a David Romay negotiated a deal back in 2005.
There's a name from the past.
Yeah, isn't it? The convicted felon. Anyway, my understanding is that there was a promise made that in exchange for land, the city would build a not less than 1.2 million water feature in the Wolfpen Creek area. Now, whether this specific location was the one, I don't know. But anyway, the $170,000 operation maintenance is for the whole Wolfpen Creek Festival area, and the water feature is like $65,000 roughly. To me, that's what gives me the heartburn, is the $170,000. The money for the water feature has already been set aside and can't be used for anything else, and it's money from the TIF, which is the tax increment finance zone that has done all the other improvements at Wolfpen Creek. But all we've done is put it out for bid. We haven't said we're going to do it yet. We just voted to put it out for bid. And I'm looking forward to seeing what those bids come back and what happens. But, you know, in this economy, you know, O&M, operation maintenance, is an area where we can cut. And so I have gives me serious heartburn to think about that much money on operations and maintenance. So we've got to look at that very carefully.
This is a piece of property that has viability. It is commercially viable. Does this company not want it back? Could this not revert back to the people who owned this or that you made the agreement with as far as the
water
event? I've
not been involved in any of that. That's a, you know, a staff kind of deal, so I can't.
Is that a viable alternative to say, hey, we don't want to do this thing. You got what you wanted here. Here's the land back. You can develop it. It's probably enhanced in value since that time.
Well, I think the land that they gave was in the floodplain, and it's for the upper trails.
Okay.
Okay, so, you know, they've been paved and all of that kind of stuff. But sure, I mean, anything's possible, but I can't speak to that because I don't know what staff has done with the original developer owner.
My other thought is, and you're not an attorney, but okay, let's say that a water feature happens and it squirts water up out of the ground and kids run around. What happens if somebody falls down and breaks their head open? City liable for that?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Well,
let me just
and
say
I don't
this.
Want you to say it from a legal standpoint, but I mean, has that been considered?
I think the water type feature we're looking at is, you know, the kind of one they have at the Lincoln Center.
Yeah.
They have at Tanglewood Park in Bryan. And in other words, it's very shallow, and I think it's got a kind of a rubberized surface and stuff like that. And, you know, at its depth, it might be an inch and a half of water. It's just kind of almost like a little splash walk-through.
Splash pad thing.
Splash pad where, you know, it might go into a little, you know, kind of performance mode where one of those nozzle squirts up a couple of feet in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't know, and
sure,
it may be one of those things like the skate park where it's skate at your own risk.
So is there a possibility that they could do any number of water events or features rather than just one central event, or which would be better from your standpoint if they're going to do it?
No, I don't know. I haven't seen, you know, what alternatives there could be.
Yeah.
So getting into territory, I don't know anything about, so I don't feel like mouthing off on something.
I understand.
I just don't know.
Okay. Well, and again, it's I kind of tend to agree with you as a taxpayer in College Station, whether it's that or something else. Off, you know, operation and maintenance is something that has to be considered more and more. There's
absolutely, because, you know, where once you do that, you're obligating yourself from now until forever, and that's not going away. It's
okay, and then real quickly, we have a short list as far as city manager candidates are concerned.
Pretty much, we've had a meeting where we have a subcommittee, myself, Mr. Maloney, and Mr. Fields, and we looked at 50 some odd applicants, and we just kind of all looked at all of them and said yes, no kind of thing, and narrowed that down to less than 10. Shared that with the you know, the council.
Any from out of state?
Yes. And so what we did is we looked at them. We did not have a full council. Mr. Rusink was there, was absent the first time. He was attending a meeting and then brought it back again. And at that time, the recall had started. So we said, well, our next council meeting is in January. That'll be after the petitioners have their opportunity to present, and we'd be in a better position to make a determination.
Sure. Any from Brazos County?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How many from out of state?
I believe 2.
Out of a total of how many do you have on your list?
I think 8.
Okay. All right.
Both of whom have, you know, are either from or have been in Texas.
All male?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, that's enough. That gives us a little background there, and we'll see how that works out.
And not all Caucasians.
Okay, very good. So there you go. That kind of gives us – or is there anything else you want to tell us?
Yeah, I do, in fact.
Okay.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah.
We've got the Mayor's Fitness Council challenge coming up. We're going to do a half marathon in conjunction with the Armadillo Dash. So this is a 6-week challenge, and it starts between January 1st and 16th and ends with recognition on March 6th as part of the popular Armadillo Dash. So this event is free, and it's open to everybody of all ages and anybody who's interested in getting in shape and working towards going to be in the Armadillo Dash.
Or the Olympics or whatever.
Whatever. Okay.
Got to start someplace,
you can register online with College Station, CSTX.gov at our Parks Department. So encourage you to do that. Or if you have any specific questions, Peter Lamont and our Parks Department are outstanding Parks Department. So get fit for the new year. There's always a New Year's resolution. It's always first on my list.
May as well do that. That's it.
First on the list and first to go.
There you go. Thanks for the time this morning.
Always a pleasure to visit with you.
That's Nancy Berry.
Good year, everybody.
Thank you. That's the mayor of College Station. Visit with us on alternate Wednesdays.